If you have your Bibles, could you turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Let me just get myself sorted. All sorts of things. Can I just tell you, can I just do a little straw poll? Who eats Easter eggs before Easter Sunday? Shame on you. I just came across the most extraordinary thing the other day. We went round to some friend's house for a meal, who will remain nameless, but their children, Jerry Turner, they're allowed to eat Easter eggs before Easter Sunday. I just... He is a Christian, honestly, but anyway, there you go. We're going to read this morning not one of the classic passages about resurrection. We're not going to read from one of the narrative accounts in the Gospels about Jesus rising from the dead. Jerry read it when we started off the service this morning, but we're going to read instead one of the great passages about resurrection from when Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it's this extraordinary story of God bringing hope. God bringing hope. And I want to ask you the question now, where do you need to know hope in your life? Where do you need to see God breaking in to bring hope to you? What are some of the areas that you are longing to see hope restored? Because this is the story of Easter. This is the story of Easter. We'll read it, but I just, in your mind, I need you to think what it must have been like for those disciples who they thought everything was too good to be true. This was amazing. What this man Jesus, it was too good to be true that they were close to him. And then they found him on a cross. And then he died. Hope was completely destroyed. And yet, it didn't stay there. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to read a few different verses. I'm going to start at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Now, I would remind you, says Paul to the church in Corinth, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received and in which you stand and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast the word that I preached to you, unless, of course, you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. And then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, and then he appeared to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. And then the next few verses, Paul describes how Jesus appeared to him. He's untimely born because it was later on. We know the story of Paul on the road to Damascus. Slip down to verse 17. If Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have also fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope, in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. He's basically saying, if the goodness of Jesus raising from the dead is only for now, we are in a pretty sorry state. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by man came death, by a man also has come the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, basically if you're born a human, we are subject to original sin as Adam did, we will all die. But so in Christ, we shall all be made alive. And then go down to verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, these are the words we sang in that song earlier. in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body, as in this body that is subject to death, must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? We often read these at funerals. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, this is the interesting verse. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labour is not in vain. We just want to go back to these. Jill, could you put something under here to stop this? Thank you. I just want us to really quickly to go back to these disciples. Imagine what it must have felt like. There was this great man, Jesus, who had become their great friend. He had taken them on this extraordinary adventure of faith. He was the one who had brought them closer to God than anyone could possibly ever have brought them close before. And Jesus was explaining to these disciples what it meant to get right with God. It was extraordinary. They were excited about what was happening. Thanks, Jerry. I think, Alan, is that your phone going off there? I don't mean to publicly shame you, but again, what is going on? Can I just say, it happened, Jill, it happened. No, Alan, don't go out. Get a young person to turn it off. Yeah. It happened to Jill a while ago. I started reading her Bible and it couldn't stop. Right, well, I'll start again. So we're going back to these disciples thinking that Jesus was the best thing that had happened to them. They'd understood what it was to be close to God. They'd understand all these things. They thought, oh my word. And then they, best of all, some of them began to think, this really could be the Messiah, and he's my mate. You think, oh my word. Imagine what it must have been like for them. All of like Jewish history leading up, and you're thinking, I think this could be it. And I'm talking to him, I'm being with him. And you know that phrase, this is too good to be true? I think that applies here. This could be the Messiah. It's too good to be true that I am standing here with him. And then guess what? Brutally killed. Brutally hung up on a cross. I try to imagine what it must have felt like for them to see all of their dreams dying on the cross. They thought, oh, it was like, was it a dream? You know, sometimes when you wake up on a dream and you think it's like your birthday for a week in a row and you think, oh, this is amazing. Or when you was a kid, you used to sort of like dream it was Christmas and then you'd wake up and it was just February. But imagine, you think, this is utterly unbelievable. And then suddenly, as Jesus was on the cross, all of their dreams died. I think they knew something about it, because Jesus kept going on about the fact, I must die, I must go through this baptism, I must. And I think they thought, oh, well, there is something. But they didn't really know what it was truly about. And then you have this account of Mary Magdalene and Mary going to the tomb and meeting an angel. And they're thinking, what's going on? They thought, as Jerry read this, but they thought they're just going to go and, you know, cry a lot you know, and anoint this body with oil. They've just got to go and do this thing. They don't want to, but they've got to go and do it. And then they didn't find him. And then, bang, this angel appears and says, don't be scared. Don't be scared. It says, Matthew 28, says, the women, deep in wonder and full of joy. That's a little bit of an under sort of statement. Full of joy. They lost no time in leaving the disciples. They ran to tell, left no time in leaving the tomb. They ran to tell the disciples. And then Jesus met them, stopping them in their tracks. The message says, Jesus said, good morning. And then the message goes on to say this. They fell to their knees and embraced his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said, you're holding on to me for dear life. Don't be frightened like that. Go and tell my brothers that they have to go to Galilee and I'll meet them there. Do you ever feel your life is a little bit of a roller coaster? Up and down. Sometimes you just think, oh, this is amazing. Life could not be better. And then bang, something happens. Or bang, something else. And then a few things. And you think, oh my word, my life is awful. You know, sometimes all this stuff that has gone on with the building here, sometimes I just have to stop and I think, God, look what you have done. Because sometimes I get caught up and think, oh, come on. What's all these bad stuff? Why can't we sort this stuff out? And up and down. I just need to let you know the resurrection is about the restoration of hope. An enduring hope. We will go through ups and downs, all sorts of things. They will just hit us and they will hit us and they will broadside us and they will take us off track. But the resurrection of Jesus is about the restoration of hope. And you know, I've realised that there are different types of hope. Hope sometimes is that, I don't know, you hope your team wins. You hope you get your job. You hope the weather's nice. I don't know. You hope about all these different things. And sometimes you end up getting disappointed and sometimes you don't. But Christian hope, I need to let you know, is utterly different from that. Christian hope is not a 50-50 thing. But it's an absolute certainty that when we die, we can look forward to sharing in God's glory. Why do we know that? Because something happened in history. Something happened that we celebrate this morning that Jesus did not stay dead. He came back to life. What's the point of the resurrection? I think there are loads of things. There are loads of points of the resurrection. Is it to let us know that there is life after death? Well, yes, I think that's partly the resurrection. Is it to let us know that at some point we'll be released from the pain of life here on earth and we can finally get away from it all and go and be with Jesus? Well, that is a truth of it. But do you know, the gospel stories aren't really, really about going to heaven when we die. The point of the resurrection is this. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. God's new world has begun. It's broken in. It started. Jesus is risen from the dead. The world is redeemed. The world has been bought at a price. Jesus is risen from the dead. We have a new job to do. We have a new job to do. To bring something of heaven down here on earth. You know, the resurrection is more than proving that God can do miracles, although that is what it is about. The resurrection is more than proving that the Bible is true, that all the prophecies throughout history that have come true, although it is about that as well. The resurrection is more than personally experiencing the closeness and the presence of Jesus. That's probably more to do with Pentecost. The resurrection is more than just opening the door for us to come into the presence of Jesus. The resurrection is about this. It's about the beginning, firing of the starting gun of God's new project to bring heaven to earth. That's what it's about. There's new life.
There's life in such abundance. It's more than just going to heaven when we die. No, it's about God's kingdom coming now here on earth, into this planet. And I was thinking about it this morning. I was praying. No, into this planet, into this bit of soil, into this bit of London. It's about God's kingdom coming here and now. You know, that's the whole point of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not just about leaving something toilsome and difficult and hard down here. The Bible always talks, it doesn't talk about us going to Jesus. It always talks about Jesus coming to us, coming back, this resurrection life. That something will be redeemed. That whole creation, full redemption pattern. God created something good, it fell, and now he's bringing in its redemption. He's bringing in new life. You know when Paul, in the Roman times, the Romans used to start, I can never say this right, colonies, didn't they? And they used to say they'd go to another city, and they'd say, I want you to go and start a colony over there. And what they really wanted to do was people who were Roman, they wanted to go, old soldiers and people like that, they'd go there, and then they would just start living a different way. They would start living as they were in Rome. And that's how Rome, sort of like the influence of Rome, spread. They just lived a different way. Now, when those people retired or got old, they didn't want them back in Rome. They weren't going to say, right, you've done your bit now. They're now come back and live the real life in Rome. No, that's it. They were there. They were starting these colonies. Well, I don't know why I have a problem with that word. And he said, no, I want you to be citizens of heaven. The resurrection. I want you to be citizens of heaven in Colindale. That's easier to say. I want you to be citizens wherever you are. Citizens of heaven wherever you are. We've always said that a key part of who we are as a church is to transform communities that we find ourselves in. To transform the streets and the homes and the offices and the schools and the clubs and the wherever we are, we're called to be transformers. Not to be the best church in the London Borough of Barnet, but one of the best churches for the London Borough of Barnet. And we want to work with as many other churches to be a blessing. But it's not just about being nice and kind and compassionate. That is commendable. But it's about bringing the hope of heaven into our cultures and into our communities, into our work. When we have the most difficult work colleagues, our goal is to bring the transforming power of heaven. We can be kind and compassionate in our own strength if we want to, but how about bringing the healing, redemptive power of the risen Lord Jesus where we are? When we pray for people and sin is broken, when guilt is broken, when we were talking this morning that guilt is broken, we think, no, new life is here and is coming. A really interesting thing, passage. That passage that we read is that when Paul talked about Jesus being resurrected, and when we are resurrected, and when we have resurrection bodies like Jesus did, he didn't say, Jesus was resurrected, you'll be resurrected, therefore just hang about and wait till it happens. Just, you know, like, you're going to get these resurrection bodies. When Jesus, just hang in there. Whatever you do, just hang in, sit around, do whatever you want. Wait for that moment when death takes you, you can be in the presence of Jesus. I'll tell you what he said. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. He said, no, bring something of the kingdom. That's the whole point of the resurrection. At the final resurrection, when the trumpet sounds, do you? I don't know if you're ever like me, but sometimes I want to hear this trumpet sound of Jesus returning. And I know we just, well, yeah, but I've got to go and do my shopping. I've got to go and do this. I've got to go and do that. Yeah, I've got a plan. I've got to save some money. And I wonder what it would be like to hear that trumpet. You know, and sometimes there's been a few times when, you know, when it's suddenly an unusual time, it gets really dark. And I mentioned this the other day, and you think, That's unusual.
Is this it?
Jeez, are you coming back? But there, just to let you know, there will come a time when that happens. There will come a time when we're sort of like everyone is around, and then this truck might be in 2092, or it might be next Tuesday. I don't know. Might be another 2,000 years. But there will come a time when this trumpet sounds and this physical earth is restored and redeemed. And we have resurrection bodies like Jesus. And we will discover that everything that we have done in the power of the resurrected Jesus somehow is woven in to God's redemptive plan. Every time you spoke words of kindness, it will be woven in to God's new creation. Every time you cared for somebody who wasn't particularly careable, it will be woven into God's redemptive plan. Every time you created something of beauty in the power of the Holy Spirit, it will be woven into God's redemptive plan. Every time you spoke truth, every time you were generous, every time you shared the gospel, every time you valued somebody, every time you listened to somebody, all of those things will be celebrated and worked into God's redemptive plan for creation. The resurrection story is more than just about life after death. It's about God's creation and restoration coming here on earth. And I want to do is, I'd like to finish by just praying for us that the hope of the resurrection comes deeply into our lives. That we are the people that experience hope ourselves, you know, and even some of the difficulties that you may be going through. I thought there are a few areas I really wanted to pray for, because I think God wants to break through in some areas and bring hope, that you might be a bringer of hope, resurrection hope to many people. Could I just ask you to stand, please? In a moment, I'm just going to ask Jill to read those verses from Isaiah 35 that she read earlier, and wasn't planned. I didn't know she was going to read them. But all of those verses that were read, even the verse that Alameda read when she said that we will reign in the land of the living, it's talking about resurrection life. It's talking about God's kingdom power coming. And these verses from Isaiah 35, they talk about this hope, this springtime, this new life. And that is the story of the resurrection. Ask you if there is a particular area where you think you would like to see resurrection hope restored in your life. In a moment, I just want you to raise your hand. If there's a particular area of illness in your life, I'd like you to raise your hand. If you've struggled with depression, I'd like you to raise your hand. If you want the restoration of hope, resurrection hope in your life, just raise your hand and I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit would come and minister to you. And then Jill's going to read these verses from Isaiah 35. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come and minister to us. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, you brought that spark of life to Jesus as he lay in a tomb. Jesus, you came back to life. It was this moment when this new resurrection life was brought to us. And Holy Spirit, we pray that we would know more of that life now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.
The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance and divine retribution. He will come to save you. And then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like the deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. And water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs.
Yeah. Father, thank you. Lord, we pray for this resurrection life all around us. I want to pray for Colindale. I pray for Barnet. I pray for Mill Hill. We pray for all the other areas of Barnet up at the top of the borough. We pray for the boroughs that surround us, oh God. We pray for our offices. We want to pray, Lord, that there would be this resurrection life, oh God, that would be seen, that would be manifest as flowers sort of like arise in dry and arid places when they are watered. We pray now, oh God, let your resurrection life be evident all around us. Holy Spirit. And we pray now for people who are unwell. If you some of those things that I mentioned, you just particularly want to be prayed for, just raise your hand and I'm going to pray for you. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you that your resurrection power, your new life, Lord, heaven coming down to earth. Lord, we want to see it more and more in our lives and in our community. And we pray for ourselves now. We pray for those who are struggling with ill health. We pray, Lord, would you come and bring your healing power right now? Lord, we pray for those who have struggled with depression and all sorts of things. We say, come break through now in your healing power. Oh, Father, I pray that you would be our hope. You would be our strength. You would be our sustainer. I pray, oh God, for all the things that we carry, oh God, that we would come and lay them at the foot of the cross, knowing, oh God, that you didn't stay on the cross, but you defeated death.
Yes, Lord.
Holy Spirit, we pray, come. Come, Lord.